Hey, Traders Point fam. Our next guest preacher is honestly one of my favorite people on the planet. Terrence Mullings is a passionate minister, musician, songwriter, preacher, and father of four. He and his wife, Emma, relocated to the United States in 2019 to plant History Makers Church, a dynamic church in South Florida that we help support due to your generosity. Terrence has been involved in ministry since childhood and is a dynamic and engaging communicator of God's word. He's a seasoned leader with a heart to see every individual step into the fullness of God's plan for their life. He is known for his infectious encouragement, deep love for people, and unwavering passion to help others discover their God-given purpose. I'm grateful to call Terrence a friend, and as you'll see in just a moment, he is wildly gifted, but he is also one of the most humble and self-aware leaders I know. Even though he has more ability in his little finger than most of us have altogether, he is constantly asking questions because he has a growth mindset and the heart of a servant. I know you're gonna be encouraged and challenged by his message today. His wife Emma spoke at last year's Women's Night, but this is his first time to preach for us. So would you please give Terrence a warm Traders Point welcome as he comes to bring God's word.
Come on, Traders Point. What an introduction and what a pastor you guys have. It is the highest honor and privilege for me to be here with you this morning on Sunday morning. And can we just start by just giving a praise to the one who deserves it, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. Come on, you can do better than that. Those watching online, every campus. Come on, a loud church is an alive church. And our God is not dead, he is alive. Well, I love your pastor. He is my man crush. Come on, you guys have a church pastored by Wolverine. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. He really is a gift. I'm so grateful for Pastor Aaron. His generosity is like Jesus. He has wisdom, I believe, like Jesus. That's why I ask questions when I'm around him, because I always get God answers. If you want to know what it looks like to lead like Jesus and love like Jesus, look no further than your pastor. If you're grateful for your pastor, would you clap your hands and honor him? I know him and his wife, they're on sabbatical right now. In fact, I had a privilege to catch up with him last night, and I did ask him about the history of this church called Traders Point. And you guys look good for your age. I tell you, you guys look good. Apparently, Traders Point was a group of people that was a settlement here, that as travelers were coming through, people could stop here and make a trade for something that would help them on the journey as they went to the next season of their life. And I thought, ooh, that'll preach. That'll preach right there, because I believe Traders Point still is Traders Point. That people come here every single week and have the opportunity to make a trade for something that will serve them in their next season. That we get to come into the house of God and trade my sin for his salvation. We get to come into the house of God and trade my rags for his righteousness. Come on, anyone grateful that Traders Point is still Traders Point? I love it. It's not just salvation that we get in this house, it's sanctification, that we get to become more like Jesus in every day, in every way. We come with our weakness and we can trade it for his strength. We come with our grief and we come with our mistakes, and God gives us his great grace. Anyone grateful that we can come into the house of God and we can trade our sorrow for his joy? Come on, one more time, clap your hands in this place. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, I got to start by saying the accent that you're hearing is an Australian accent, and I want to encourage you to get used to it, because we'll all sound like this in heaven. This will be the accent of heaven, so do get used to it. Well, Pastor Aaron has asked me just to go for it and share with you what's been on my heart, and so it is the highest honor and privilege. And I want to share with you over the next 3 hours and 35 minutes. Why do you laugh? That's how we do it in Australia. I want to share with you over the next 35 minutes or so from this thought, the process into the promise. The process into the promise. You know, God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And every promise from God has a premise called a process. And if you don't understand the process in which God writes his story and his promises, that I believe that many of us forfeit the promises of God simply because we don't understand the process in which he does it. Someone say process. No, I didn't say process. I said process. Come on. Process. Because, you know, there's the person of Jesus that gets you to heaven, but then there's the principles of Jesus that allow us to experience heaven here on earth. And today I want to look at one of these principles and the person of Jesus, because I believe that if you don't understand the process, then many of us have promises from God, but we never achieve them because we are stuck in a sentence when God has more to the story. And so this message is for anyone who feels stuck, anyone who might have settled short of the promises of God. My prayer is that as I speak, you're going to see yourself in one of the four chapters that I'm going to outline in which God writes his story and fulfills his promises in our life. So if this is for anyone who's stuck, settled, or stopped short. Because many times God wants us here, but we've settled for the wilderness when God has a whole promised land. And so scripture today, we're looking at the story of Abraham. I believe Abraham's a great person to look at. The Bible calls him the father of faith. And he had a journey he had to go on. We'll see these four chapters in his life. You ready for the word? All right, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 reads this, like this. It says, "The Lord said to Abraham." Now, Isaac, I need you to know that we serve a speaking God. That if God said it, you're going to see it. You know, when God wants to do something, he doesn't just give words for communication. No, when our God speaks, he speaks for creation. That's why he looked at darkness and said, "Let there be light." And there was light. We serve a speaking God. And I want you to know that what God has spoken in your life, if he said it, you're going to see it. But do you know what God has said? Have you opened up his book, got your face out of Facebook and actually in the book? Because God will watch over his word to perform it in your life. He's got promises of faith, for finances, for friendships. He's got promises for your health, for your home. So many promises found in the word of God. And so every promise is actually predicated on the process. And in the next part of the verse, we're going to see the process. It's actually all up there right now. All four steps are right here. It says, "The Lord said to Abraham, number one, go from your country. Number two, I need you to leave your people. Number three, I need you to leave your father's household. And step four, I need you to go to the land that I will show you," says the Lord. So right there you see the process, four stages of the process. But now I want to go to the next verse to show you the promise. Then I'm going to come back and unpack the process so we know what steps we need to take. Amen? So next part of the verse says this, here is the promise. "I," God says, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." Now I want you to notice here who's doing the blessing. Are we blessing ourselves, or is it God doing the blessing? God's doing the blessing. I love how you're talking back. That's how we like it. I hope you're talking back at home or in your car right now. God says, "I will bless you. All the people of earth will be blessed through you." If I was going to summarize this blessing that God has for us, the promise, into four words, I'd say it like this. God wants to bless you, write this down, with land. Land. I know it might be expensive to buy a house in India, but God has land for you. The earth is the Lord's, and he's given it to his children. But it's not just talking about an earthly land. He's talking about a heavenly land. Your name written in the book of life and a place in eternity. Lineage number two. He says, "I'll make your name great. Give you a people, family, friendships, those believing." I believe that even in this room today, God's going to break barrenness. And there's going to be people in this room who will conceive and carry to full term, because that's a promise that God has given you. And I believe he's going to perform it here today in Jesus' name. Legacy. Legacy is not just wealth. We don't just pass on wealth, we pass on wisdom and life more abundantly. These are some of the promises that God has. As we continue to read about Abraham's journey in verse 4, it says, "So Abraham went as the Lord had told him to do, following the four-step process into the promise, and Lot went with him." And the Bible says Abraham was how old? Come on, shout out everyone. Abraham was how old? 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot and all the possessions they had accumulated and all the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for Canaan, which is also known as the Promised Land, the Promised Land. Again, God has a promise for you, but there is a process into the promise. Between the promise, watch this, and the possession of the promise, there is always a process, and I want to outline that process for you here today. In Abraham, we don't just see a man, we see a model of how God leads us into the promises of God. Before I dive into it, though, just by way of introduction, because I can see some of you looking at me like, I mean, he looks black, but that brother sounds really white. Well, there is a reason for that. I look like this because I was born of Jamaican parents. Anyone here from Jamaica? Wow, nobody. What a great start. Born of Jamaican parents. I look like this because I was born of Jamaican parents, but I sound like this because I was born in Brisbane, Australia. In fact, my parents, my dad, with Jamaica being part of the British Commonwealth, he got a scholarship to study in Australia. And so my mum and him moved to Australia. My sister was born there, I was born there, and we left when I was 3 months old, and then we moved all the way back to Jamaica, where Dad fulfilled his scholarship. Couldn't really find work there with the economy, and so they moved right here to America, baby. Come on, America, for the American dream. And they moved to Miami, Florida, and again, Dad couldn't find work, so ended up moving us all the way back to Australia. And we lived in so many different places. We lived in Brisbane, Sydney, a place called Deniliquin. We actually moved to a town called Wagga Wagga. Come on, someone say Wagga Wagga. Come on, so good they had to name it twice. And it's a great country town, did high school there. And then I moved up to Sydney for university. And that's where I met my beautiful Angelina Jolie lookalike with the heart of Mother Teresa. Come on, I scored. Pastor Emma spoke at our women's conference. Anyone hear her? Come on, isn't she awesome? This is a beautiful picture of my family. And for those clapping, you obviously don't have four children. Because it's four, I mean, I love my children, but you know what four children's like? Four children is like, imagine you're drowning and someone hands you four children. That's what four children is like, and they're a blessing. In fact, I'm traveling with my eldest, Jeremiah. He's sitting there on the front row. Love him. I do love my kids, but I don't have four kids because I love kids. I have four kids because my wife loves me. Come on. My wife loves the chocolate. She loves the good chocolate, the Ferrero Rocher in Jesus' name. And so we got married. We actually ended up moving to America in 2019, just before the world shut down. And we actually ended up launching our church, History Makers Church, in Miami, Florida. And God has done just honestly some incredible things, exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask, think, or imagine. In fact, 4 years later of launching the church, this Easter, we saw over 3,350 people walk through the doors. We've had over 1,000 people say yes to Jesus in the church. Hundreds of baptisms. Come on, you better clap your hands on that. And I don't say that to brag on us. I actually say that to brag on you and to say thank you, Traders Point, for your generosity. You may not realize this, but every time you sow into Traders, you're actually sowing through Traders Point to see God's kingdom come all around the world. And we've been recipients of your great generosity. So I came as a picture to say thank you so much for all that you're doing. You are making an epic and eternal difference. Give yourselves a round of applause one more time, Traders Point. So we moved here in 2019 to plant History Makers Church in Miami. But the call of God actually came in 2014. It was 2014, October, November, I went on a 40-day fast. 40 days, no food, just liquids. In fact, 7 days, no liquids at all. And I wanted to press mute on the physical so I could turn the amplifier up on the spiritual to hear God about a few things we were believing for. And it's amazing that in those 40 days, watch this, in those 40 days, God gave me the blueprint for the next 40 years of my life. And in fact, what God showed me in that time is that every time heaven touches earth, every time our humanity encounters his divinity, God always writes his story through the same four chapters. You know, God's a God of systems and patterns. God's a God of order, not disorder. And in fact, as we look at the story of Abraham, we see those four things outlined in his story. And this is really important. And so I'm going to just go for it and give you everything I got just in case I never get invited back today. And so this is a message where you might want to watch back. And here's the question I want you to ask as I preach. Ask the Holy Spirit. What chapter of God's story am I currently in? Because it will help you, because most people get saved and they think they've taken this leap of faith. That was pretty, wasn't it? That was a good leap. I felt that one. You take this leap of faith and you're like, is this it, God? Well, no, God has more than salvation. He wants to sanctify you. So God doesn't just call you, He commissions you. He doesn't just rescue you, He releases you. He doesn't just find you, He wants to make you fruitful and multiply. And God has a process, and I'm hoping that you'll see yourself in one of these chapters. Everyone will see yourself in one of these chapters I'm going to outline. And so today I want to give you the four chapters of the process. You might call them the four legs of the table that God's preparing before you in the presence of your enemies, all right? And the four chapters go like this. So write this down as number one. For those taking notes and for those who want to go to heaven. See, now you'll take notes. We say at our church, note takers are history makers. So number one, the first step of the process is that God will call you. Someone say called. Why does God call you? Because where we are and where God is taking us are two completely different places. In fact, before God calls you into a thing, He has to call you out of the old thing. In Genesis 12, God says to Abram, the Lord said to him, go from your country. We need to leave where we are to go where God is leading us. You know, Peter, when he got out of the boat, you know, others complain, but he's the one who stepped out of the boat of security to step onto the waters of his destiny. And you have to leave what's secure to step into the unknown where feet may fail, keeping our eyes on Jesus. And here's what I want you to know. The reason why you have to wait for God to call you is I don't believe Peter stepped out on the waters. I believe Peter stepped out on a word from God. Because God's word is so pregnant with power. When God speaks, His word changes things. And the Bible says God watches over His word to perform it. Do you have a word from God? As you're stepping into summer, as you're stepping into a new season, do you have a word from God? Because His word will work if you allow it to do the work inside of you. You know, the reason why God calls you is before God calls you to a thing, He always calls you to Him. He's not necessarily calling you to a thing, the promise, but He's actually calling you to the promise giver. And here's why, because God calls Abram, and here are some of the characteristics we learn about Abraham, that Abraham was 75 years old. Now, I don't know about you. Come on, anyone 75 or a little bit older in this place, wave your hands in the air like you just do care. Awesome, a few seasoned saints. And, 75, I want to ask you this question. Are you planning to have a baby anytime soon, anyone 75? If you are, I want to drink what's in your communion cup right now. But at 75, we're not really trying to be having children. We're not winding up. We're winding down. We're now thinking about how can I leave a legacy for the next generation. And Abram finds himself in this situation that God's called him to be the father of many nations, but he's got a problem. He's old. He's got a second problem. His wife is barren. The Bible said that Sarah was actually childless because she was not able to conceive. Can I tell you, when you look at your life and you feel that you are unqualified, when you look at your life and you feel like you don't have what it takes, you need to understand that God does not call the qualified, but God qualifies the called. Amen. You need to know if God called you, He's going to put inside of you everything that you need, that God will equip you because He's both the author and the finisher of your faith. Come on, anyone grateful here this morning that we serve a God who qualifies us with His word when He calls us? And that's important for you to know because some of you think you're too old. Some of you think it's too late. Can I tell you, you're not too old. It's not too late. You have what it takes because when God calls you, He doesn't call you to a thing. He calls you to Him because God is going to perform that thing on your behalf. Oh, I need some of you to get it. Some of you haven't got it yet. You've come in here and you think the abortion disqualifies you. You think the fact that you had adultery disqualifies you from God's call. No, when there is repentance, there's always a redo. There's always a resurrection power from the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know what you walked in here with, you think disqualifies you, what lies of the enemy he's been coming to torment you today. But my Bible says that no weapon formed against me will prosper. And every tongue that rises against me, it shall be condemned. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I'm telling you, the mistake that you made is not being disqualified because the blood of Jesus is more than enough. Amen. His blood on the cross covered everything. And I'm so grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ. The promise of God is not based on your qualifications. It's actually based on His. You know, when we moved from Australia, we were so gripped with our insecurities, so gripped with the inadequacy and fragility of our humanity. It's like, oh, I knew God called. It was great to step out until you actually step out. Come on, everyone ever stepped out on a job or a venture or a business and like, oh, I don't have what it takes. You know, we moved here and we didn't have a church. We didn't have really much support. We had our home savings that we'd saved for 10 years. And we believe that God said, if you build my house, I'll build your house. And God was faithful in that. But I'm telling you, there was moments where I looked and I was like, God, this is not happening. COVID's happening. No one's coming. What's going on? And in that moment, I had to learn to keep my eyes upon Jesus. And I tell you, when you step out on the call, God is calling you into a relationship with him because he wants to perform it. You got to notice when Jesus called the disciples, you know what he said? He said, he didn't say, go and make disciples first. The first thing he said is, come, follow me. Because God says, I'm the one who's going to make you fishers of men. So if you've been walking this journey on your own, know that God is calling you back into relationship with him. That is the first step that God does in your life. And here's what he's calling you out of. He's calling you, here's an acronym, filth. F, he's calling you out of the fear so you can make a trade for faith. He's calling you out of insecurity. He's calling you out of limited thinking. He's calling you out of tradition. This is the way I've always done it. He's calling you out of how you used to do it so you can step into a new day in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. And here's how the call went for Abram. God said, Abram, you've been living under this tent. Limited thinking. It's like a glass ceiling you can't break through. And I need you to get out from this ceiling so you can see him. And some of you need to get out of the ceiling, the traditions, what people have said to you, the mistakes you have made to answer the call because God's calling you into greater things. And I want to tell you how great our God is. He said to Abraham, hey, count the stars in the sky. He starts counting. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. He's counting the stars. He can't count them because what God wants to do in your life, it's innumerable. It's immeasurable. It's incalculable. You see, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. That's why God calls you to him, because he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above. Can I get an amen in this place? And I need you to know, you know how many stars? Astronomers say, they calculate there are 6 sextillion stars. Do you know if you take 1 million stars, times them by 1,000, that's 1 billion. You times 1 billion stars by another 1,000, that's 1 trillion. That's Elon Musk right there. Come on. And if you double that, you get a sextillion. That's 6 of those multiplied. And God says, I want to do that much in your life, more than you can ask, think, or imagine. And here's why he calls you into relationship with him, because here's how good our God is. You can take an apple, I'm sure, cut it in half, and count how many seeds come out of that apple. True? Here's what God can do. He can take one of those seeds out of the apple, and he can tell you how many apples are going to come out of that one seed. Clap your hands if you know God's good in this place. Amen. So one, he will call you to him. Then number two, God wants to connect you. Someone say connect. Connect. So Genesis 1 says this. The Lord said to Abraham, the process, step one, he'll call you, go from your country. Step two, I need you to leave your people. My question is, did Abraham do this? Did he leave his people? Because in order for God to connect you to a new thing, we're going to have to say no to the old thing. What's this? 3 verses later, Genesis 12:4, God says, leave your people. And so Abraham went, verse 4, as the Lord had told him to do, and who went with him? And Lot. Look at me. It's very hard to step into the more that God has for you while you're carrying a lot. And a lot of you are carrying a lot of hurts, hang-ups, misconceptions, thoughts of how it should have happened, and you're missing what God wants to do in the old thing because you won't disconnect from the new thing because you won't disconnect from the old thing. Let me say it like this. You're carrying mindsets. You're carrying hurts. And you've got to leave those things. And I know it's really hard to leave family. We had to leave Australia to come all the way here to America. And it was one of the hardest decisions we've ever had to do. It was extra hard because when we were about to leave, my elder sister had already left years ago to move to Jamaica to, you know, do her life. And so now we're here from God and we're leaving my parents and we're leaving at a time when my dad was possibly in the late stages of prostate cancer. And so we didn't know how long Dad had left because, you know, there were God-fearing people. They prayed and said, look, we know this is the call of God on your life. You need to obey God. And so we left the shores of Australia. We land here in America, me, my wife, and our 4 children. 3 months later after landing, I get a text from my dad in WhatsApp, and it says, Mum's dead. And I'm like, huh? Like, make this nicer, Dad. Like, and I'm sure he was processing in his mind what happened with Mum's death, but she died suddenly. It was heart failure. We didn't expect it. And can I tell you, in that moment, I was starting to question, did I hear God? Should I have left? Should I have come over? And I realized that a lot of people don't leave family. In Spanish, we say family is familia, familia. We don't leave because things are familiar. And as we go back to the story of Abraham, I think I can see something, the reason why Abraham didn't leave and he took Lot with him. And I believe it's the same reason a lot of us won't let go of the old thing to step into the new thing. Watch this. Verse 27 of chapter 11 says this. This is the account of Terah. Now, Abram's father, his name was Terah. Everyone say Terah. He's the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. He has three boys. Haran, one of the sons, was the father of Lot. But Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of his birth, while his father Terah was still living. So he's experienced some loss, and that's tough, as I said. I personally get it. But meanwhile, it says, verse 29, Abraham, Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Verse 30, but Sarai was unable to become pregnant and she had no children. 31, one day Terah took his son Abraham daughter-in-law Sarai and his grandson Lot, because his dad, Lot's dad, Haran, had actually died. And they moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans and they were heading to this place called the land of Canaan. Now, the land of Canaan, you would know this, is also known as the promised land. So the call wasn't actually given to Moses. It was actually given to Abraham's father, Terah, way back in Genesis. And the Bible says, but instead they stopped short of the promised land in this place called Haran, and they did what? They settled there. I wonder how many of us have settled short of the promised land because you're no longer in slavery, a place of not enough, but you've settled for just enough when God has more than enough. That'll preach. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. You know, some of the promises of God are only on the other side of our separation from the old thing. The place that he settled in, Terah, interestingly, what was the son's name who died? His name was what? Haran. What was the name of the place they settled in short of the promised land? Haran. You see, many of us settle in a place of sadness because it reminds us of an old season when God says, I need you to forget the former things. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And I know it's really hard to let go of the old things. In fact, when my mom died, we were all here in Australia. We'd taken all we had to move here. And in fact, my wife couldn't come. My kids couldn't come. I had to fly back all by myself to Australia and do Mum's funeral. And I was so sad on that trip. And I remember God speaking to me on the plane. He said, Terrence, two things. Number one, remember that unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it will never bear fruit. And your mother's life was a seed that has been planted in the ground and been planted in your life. And now her life should bear fruit through you and the next generation. He also said that, you know, when you're running a race, there's a baton. Just like the baton was passed from your former pastor to your current pastor, Pastor Aaron, God is passing a baton from one generation to the next. And I believe prophetically here this morning that some of you have settled in a place of sadness. You've lost someone. Maybe you've lost an opportunity. Maybe you've lost some innocence and you've settled in that place of sadness. But like God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now it's your time to pick up your baton and run your race. I believe that there's some people in here who need a word from God, that God is saying, you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. You need to lace up your boots. You need to put on your backpack. It's time to ride into the promises of God. Come on. Is there anyone here at Traders Point who is grateful that God always has a fresh start? It's a new season. It's a new day. You can let go. And here's what God's saying. Hey, they ran their race and now they're watching and they're cheering you on. It's time to get up. It's time to run again. Don't settle in that place, because the promises of God are actually not predicated on feelings. Feelings are real, but they're not always real. But God wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. My question is, why was Lot with Abraham? Well, for this reason. Lot had lost his dad. So what's the one thing Lot wants? A father. Abraham and Sarah were barren. What's the one thing that they want? A son. See, many times our desires can stop us being obedient to God. And I believe that sometimes our desire to belong is stronger than our willingness to obey. But if we'll be obedient, on the other side of that obedience, I believe is going to be some great joy. And watch this. Genesis 13, 14 says, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had departed from him. Now, question. Did God speak to Abraham before Lot left or after Lot left? After. See, some of you are waiting on a word from God, and God is waiting for you to obey the last instruction that he gave you. Amen. So God's not being silent. He's just saying, if you would obey the last thing, I will speak again and give you the next instruction. Because when you do obey God, God says, look around from here, from the north to the south, east to the west, all the land that you see, he says, I will give to you and your offspring. On the other side of disconnecting from the old thing, disconnecting and deleting that number you know you need to delete. Come on, you know who I'm talking to right now. Stop sliding into the DMs and slide into the Word. Amen. And on the other side of that, I believe that God says there is great blessings that is available for you. Some of you have to let go of that partnership. Some of you have to let go of that membership to that website that you get on every single night. That ship that you're on is a slave ship that's not taking you to God's destination, but God wants to break off the old things. Every chain broken in this place right now, according to the Word of God, and you are free and you are stepping into a new season in Jesus' name. Can I tell you, if you're willing to let go of the familiar, God will lead you into the fruitful. Amen. There's a blessing on the other side of your obedience. If you believe that, clap your hands one more time. Amen. Maybe for you, that's finding a new group of people, because every time you hang out with those old group, they tell you who you're not. They discourage you. They suck courage. Maybe you need to find a group here at Traders Point where they can speak life into you. Step one of the process, God will call you. Step two, he will connect you. Step three, and this they say is where most Christians get stuck, because we understand what it means to be called. That's salvation. We understand what it means to be connected. We'll find a group, but few of us will go deep enough to get consecrated and get rooted in Christ. This is where you take some time to allow God to deal with the stuff that's hidden that you can't really see. Going back to that foundational scripture, Genesis 12 says this. God said, go, step one. Leave your people, step two. I got some divine connections. But step three, I need you to leave your father's household, which represents my ideas over God's ideas, which represents my will over God's will. Can I tell you what consecration is? Consecration is when you take your life out of your hands and you place it in God's hands. Do you know what the opposite of that is? It's called desecration. It's where we get tired of waiting on God and we start to take things in our own hands and we always mess it up. And we see this happen. I don't know if that's you here today, but God's saying, I want to consecrate you. I want to lift you up for a higher purpose. Let's read the scripture in Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she did keep an Egyptian slave named Hagar. And so she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Eyes up. You got to be very careful what you go blaming on God. Because if you wrongly diagnose the problem, you'll wrongly prescribe the solution. And what's the solution she now prescribes, because she thinks God is the one who's holding out on her. And this is the lie of the enemy when he told Eve, maybe God's holding out from you. You would be like God if you eat from that. If you believe a lie, something in you will die. And we go back to the scripture. It says that, go sleep with my slave, she says. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Perhaps who? See, Sarai is now taking things into her hands. But let me ask you a question. Who was the one who said they were going to fulfill the promise? Was it God's responsibility or was it Abram's? It was God's. He says, I will bless you. I will make your name great. And as soon as we take things out of God's hands and try to do it in our own strength, we will desecrate the promises of God. Have you taken things into your own hands? What have you taken into your own hands and it's messing it up? And so the Bible says Abram agreed to what Sarai said. Now, just look at me for a second. Now, men, you know full well your wife has been telling you to do a lot of things and you don't listen to her ever. But Abraham decides on this one time he's going to listen to his wife. Come on, ladies, don't leave me hanging. Come on. Abraham is acting the fool. And he says Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years. So he's actually in the promised land now. 10 years in the promised land, but still no promise. Do you know you can be in the promised land, but you still have to wait on God to fulfill what he said? But some of us get tired and we take things into our hands, own hands. And Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her husband to be his wife. And he slept with Hagar and she conceived and birthed a son. His name was Ishmael. Can I tell you, when you get impatient, you will try to birth through performance and self-will that which God wanted to do by faith. God says, this is not going to be by works. What I'm trying to do in your life can only be achieved and received by faith. Someone say faith. And so I don't know what you're touching with your own hands where God says you need to trust him with. This is the mistake Eve made. Hey, Eve, don't touch the tree. Trust him with the tree. Hey, Uzzah, don't touch the ark. Trust me with the ark. Hey, David, don't touch Bathsheba. That's not yours to touch. You need to trust me that I will satisfy the desires of your heart. What are you touching where God says you need to trust him with that very thing? Take your hands off this one. This is not something you work for. This is a covenant blessing that God wants to do. And here's the covenant blessing that he wants to speak into your life. You know, when God blessed Abraham, he received the blessing of God. Simply, it says in Genesis 15:6, that Abraham did what? Abraham believed. Man, you know, when God gave a promise to Noah, he said, here's my promise, I'll never flood the earth. It was a picture of what? A rainbow. In fact, you know, when Abraham got the covenant promise from God, the covenant was actually circumcision. If I was Abraham, I'd be like, God, Noah got a rainbow. I mean, it should have been easier. That was the result of it. But the true blessing that Abraham received from God was a covenant, the substance of it. The sign was the circumcision, but the covenant, watch this, he received the same thing his grandson Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob receive. And the Bible says, Jacob wrestled God for the promise, the blessing. And he said, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the Bible says he was blessed and the angel left. But here's my question. What was the blessing? What was the blessing that Jacob received? The blessing was actually a name change from Jacob, deceiver, to Israel, nations. And the same thing that God did for his grandson, he actually did for Abram. If we read about his wife, God always changes your name because you change the name, you change the narrative. He changed Jacob to Israel, Saul to Paul, Abram to Abraham. Watch how he did it for Sarah in Genesis 18. God said to Abram, as for your wife Sarah, you're no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. Watch this. How do you get from the name Sarai to the name Sarah? You have to remove what? Remove the I and put in the H. Let me speak prophetically to you here this morning. I believe that God has been doing this and will continue to sanctify us by removing the I. I will make this happen in my own strength. I'm going to do this. No, God says, if you will remove and do, watch this. This is trader's point. If you'll make the trade, the I for the H, which represents the Holy Spirit. In fact, that letter H in the Hebrew is actually the word ruah. Hold your hand up like this. Hold your hand up like this. And everyone go, ah. See, some of you need a breath mint. But that ha is the breath of God. It's the same breath that breathed over Jesus and he rose again. It's the same breath that God breathed into the dirt when he formed the dirt and he breathed the life-giving breath into Adam and a dirty thing and a dead thing came back to life. And I believe here at Traders Point that God is breathing a fresh wind into his people here at Traders Point and you will see the impossible. Chains are going to get broken off your life because God is about to breathe again in Jesus' name. Do you believe that here this morning? Amen. That's what he did for Sarai, and he also did it for Abram. As we look in Genesis 17, verse 5, no longer will your name be called Abram. Men, look at me. God is about to do a name change in your life. And you get from Abram, if we can go to the part where it says, verse 5, no longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called what? Abraham. The breath. To get there, you got to double the A. God's about to release a double portion over the men of this church. There's a reason. If you sow, you will reap. And you've been sowing, turning up to men's nights, sowing in, by turning into the house of God. God's going to release a double portion and he's going to put the fresh breath of God in your life. If you believe that, clap your hands in this place. Amen. So what are the steps of the process? Where do you find yourself? For some of you, you're answering the call. Some of you, you're getting connected and reconnected to God. Some of you, you're in a process of consecration. I know it hurts, but God's not mad at you. God is consecrating you. God is consecrating. And then the final step is this step called commissioned. Commission. I like to break it down into two words. Co-mission. That when God sends you out, He doesn't send you alone. He's faithful through every season. Yes, you are, Jesus. So why would He fail now? See, some of you think that the steps that you have walked through have disqualified you from God's love. No, no, before God calls you to a thing, He calls you to Him. And you got to understand that God's not sending you out alone. And some of us have settled for a God who just tells me what to do and I have to go and make it happen in my own strength. No, no, God's taken out the I. It's a co-mission. That's why when Jesus called the disciples, He said, come follow me. See, a travel agent tells you what to do. A tour guide walks with you because they know the way to go. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And watch this in Genesis 12:1, our foundational scripture again. God says four things. He says, go, answer the call. Two, leave your people, connect with me. Three, leave your father's household. And four, go to the land that who will show you. Here's the reason we got to walk with Jesus, because He knows the way. In fact, the Bible says He is the way. And in Genesis 22, going back to Abram's story, we see the process to the promise. You cannot do it without Jesus. He says, take your son, your only son, Isaac. Now think about this. This is Genesis 22. In Genesis 15 and 12, we realize that Abraham did have another son. Isaac wasn't the only son. He actually birthed something out of his own will. It's called an Ishmael. And when you take life matters into your own hand, you will birth an Ishmael. In fact, I believe there's some women in here who are dating your Ishmael. So you got tired on waiting for God, but God has a Boaz for you. Come on, He's not a broke ass. He's not a cheap ass. Come on, he's your Boaz. Amen, amen. But you got to wait on the Lord. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. That was not in my notes. Praise the Lord. I think it's important that God doesn't hide the fact that an Ishmael was birthed, because God is so good that only the Messiah can take your mess and make a miracle out of the mess. And God wants you to know you can come in here dirty, damaged, broken, and He says, I will still accept you, because He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those who He calls. And God wants to qualify you. His grace is enough. His grace is enough. He says, take your son whom you love, Isaac. I know you love this thing. Love this son of yours, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that who will show you? That I will show you. See, if you're not walking with Jesus, you won't be able to see what He's showing you. See, some of you are waiting for God to speak, and God's not quiet. Again, He's waiting for you to obey the last word He spoke so you can do what He's asked you to do. Verse 10 says, then He reached out His hand and He took the knife and He's about to slay His son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abram, Abram. And he says, here I am, Lord. He says, do not lay a hand on the boy. He said, now watch this. If he was not walking with God, then he would have ended up sacrificing his son Isaac, the promise from God, because he was living on a word that God said and not on the word that God is saying. Some of us only have the word that God said while we were a child, but God is a speaking God. And when we walk with God, we'll hear what God is saying. Can I tell you, the promise of God for your inheritance, for your influence, for the land, for the legacy, is not just predicated on a process. Watch this. It's a person. I came to introduce you. It's not just the principle. See, the person of Jesus gets you to heaven. The principles of Jesus get you heaven to earth. But you got to understand, He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Watch this. And He says, do not do anything to Him. Now I know that you fear the Lord, because you have not withheld your only son, your son. Abraham looked up. Everyone say, look up. Maybe this is your moment at Traders Point to look up and start to see what God sees again. And He says, look up. And he saw in the thicket there was a ram caught by the horns. Right here, we're about to see what I believe is a symbol of the beautiful substitutory atonement of Jesus Christ. This is Traders Point, and it's still Traders Point. It's still the point where I can trade my mess for His miracles, my sorrows for His joys, my sin for salvation. Because the Bible says that the lamb, why a lamb? Well, you got to remember John the Baptist, when he's about to baptize, he says, hey, wait. You see him over there? That's Jesus. That's the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth. And you got to remember what they did with the lamb. The Bible says that in the Old Testament, when they sinned, the high priest would get a lamb, and he would inspect the lamb 3 times over 4 days to make sure it was spotless, blameless, nothing missing. And if it was, it would lean on the lamb and confess the sins of the people. And there'd be an imputing of the sins of the people to the lamb and the imputing of the righteousness of the lamb to the people. And they would be atoned for temporarily. And then God's sitting there working out, how will I do this? Not temporarily, but permanently for my people. And the Bible says when Jesus turned up on the scene, he was the lamb. And the Bible says that King Herod inspected him. I find nothing wrong with this man. Caiaphas, the high priest, inspects him. I find nothing wrong with this man. Religion, politics, the kings of the day inspected him and say 3 times. And they say, I find nothing wrong with this Jesus. Let him go. And the Bible says, because he was the one who was without spot, without blemish, sinless, he's the one who can take away the sins of the world. Come on, is anyone grateful here this morning that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the earth? Oh, can I do you one better? He's not just the lamb. If you read the scripture, it didn't say lamb. It said ram. Why ram? Because he's not just the Lamb of God. A ram is a mature lamb. That Jesus Christ is the one who, what he did on the cross was so perfect, so whole, so complete, that every sin, every shame, every stain that I walked in here has been covered under the name of Jesus. I'm so thankful that the blood of the Lamb has covered my past, my present, and my future. This is why I worship the King of Kings. He is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the earth. And the Bible says that this ram was caught where? In a thicket. Do you know what a thicket is? A thicket is a thorny bush. Why, Lord, a thorny bush? Well, you got to remember, you got to go back to Genesis to understand the meaning. In Genesis, the Bible said because Adam and Eve had sinned, that God said, I need to curse the ground. Instead of producing fruit and vegetation, it's going to produce thorns and thistles. Thorns are a picture of the curse. Now watch this. When Jesus, the Lamb of God, hung on the cross 2,000 years ago. We sang about it in the second song that he had on his head, a crown of. Look at this. What a picture of God reversing the curse that was on Adam and Eve and the Lamb of God taking every curse. And I wanted to tell you every generational curse in this place broken, every barrenness broken in this place, shame broken in this place. This is the place where I can trade my guilt for the grace of God. This is still Traders Point. When I come every single week and I pick up something that helps me on the next step of my journey, and this morning you might be here and I need this Jesus, can I tell you, the process into the promise is that number one, God will call you. He will say, hey, I'm not calling you to a thing, I'm calling you to me, him first. Then he's going to start to connect you. You're going to form some new relationships. Maybe your first step is to join the first step after the service today, or if it's on the service now. Then he will consecrate you through a process. Maybe for some of you, that's, you thought about rooted. You thought about getting deeper. This is your moment to put the roots down. But if you don't, you need to go on this commission with this Jesus who says, hey, I'm here with you. See, the process is not just a process, it's a person. His name is Jesus. And you cannot take step 2, 3, or 4 without taking the first step, which is to receive and answer the call of the Father coming. Hey, come close. If you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus. With every eye closed and every head bowed, those watching online, if you'd close your eyes. Abraham received the promise simply by believing. And it doesn't change here today. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. I'm about to lead you in the most important prayer. It's a prayer of salvation. If you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus. And hear me. Maybe you once accepted him, but you took things in your own hands and you walked away from God, or life caused you to walk away. Today's your day to come back home. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you want me to include you in this prayer now, one more time, every eye closed, no one looking around. Just by show of hands, would you lift that hand and say, yep, Terrence, include me in this prayer. I need this, Jesus. Come on, lift those hands up high. No one's looking around. I see that hand. One hand, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. I mean, there are just hands going up all across this room. I'm sure every campus as well. And can I tell you, if I didn't see your hand, God sees your heart. So you can pop that hand down right now. And church, can we all pray this prayer in agreement together with those praying it for the first time? Let's say this together. Let's say, dear God, come on, every voice lifted. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to find me and forgive me. Today, I repent of walking my own ways, and today I follow you. Come on, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me a new creation. Christ is my firm foundation. I am saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm all yours in Jesus' name. And if you believe that and receive Him, would you clap your hands in this place and thank God for all those great decisions here this morning.